One of the best ways to make money in real estate is to flip. Now, flipping is simply just transacting, right? It's getting in a deal and getting out of the deal as fast as you possibly can for the least amount of time, energy, and effort for the biggest return on your money. That's flipping. And with flipping, there are multiple different ways that we can flip properties. When I talk about flipping, what I want to do here is I want to talk about two different sides of flipping. First, it's acquisitions. How do you get into a deal? And then the disposition, or what I often call the exit. How do I get out of the deal? Flipping has two sides of it. You got to get in a deal and you got to get out of a deal and then make a profit in between if you do it right. So first, I want to talk about some acquisition methods to flipping. And really what it comes down to is there's two things that we have to define in order to determine what is the best option for flipping. Every property we look at, there's multiple different scenarios that are going on that will help us decide what's the best way for me to make money flipping this property. So the first is the motivation of the seller and also the equity in the property. Those two things are going to allow us to make really good decisions around what's the best strategy for this particular deal in this particular seller situation. Okay. So when we talk about motivation, first let's define that. What is motivation? Now, motivation is simply defined as three things need to be present. There needs to be urgency, meaning they want out of that deal as quickly as possible. A high motivation has high urgency. They want to alleviate it from the property. They want to close on that deal as soon as possible and remove that property from their life. So urgency is a big part of it. Distress. Now, distress goes along with urgency. Something is going on in their life. Bankruptcy, divorce, could be an inherited property, could be a tired landlord, could be probate. There's dozens of different distress points that a seller might be experiencing that would cause them to want to sell that property. And so distress and urgency go together. And then the other thing for us to be able to put a deal together that needs to be happening with a motivated seller would be poor condition. So if the property's in poor condition, that goes along with that perfect storm for a discounted price that we can then acquire and make money, right? So motivation is all about urgency, distress, and condition, and the seller's willingness to take a discount on price. Well, the discount on price is relative to the level of motivation. Makes sense, right? The more urgency, the more distress, and the poorer the condition, the combination there is going to create a higher level of motivation. And the higher the motivation, the bigger the discount, the lower the price. So if we look at a scale, for example, and we say, you know, a zero is no motivation or low motivation and a 10 is high motivation, where does that seller fit on the spectrum with urgency, distress, and condition? Are they a level 10 or are they a level zero? A level zero would be like a retail buyer. You know, they're interested in selling, but they're willing to wait and find out what the market will pay, and they want the highest paying price that the market will bear, okay? So that's a very low level of motivation for a seller who wants to sell. So in relation to that, the price is gonna be in direct correlation with the level of motivation. So now what? Well, how do we put a deal together? Well, the next thing that we have to consider there is the equity in the property, okay? So equity, now what's equity? So what's equity? Well, equity is taking the difference between the value or the price minus any liens on the property. So the most typical lien would be a loan, so a bank loan. So for example, if the price that the seller is willing to take is, let's say, $100,000 and there are $50,000 in liens, then the equity is $50,000. It's the difference between the price or the value minus any liens against it, that equals your equity. So this is your equity in the property. So all properties are going to fall into a spectrum of high equity, moderate equity, low equity, no equity. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to look at a property and I'm going to say, okay, what level of motivation is going on and in relationship to the equity in the property? So let's say that we have a high motivation and we have a high equity. Well, what's the best solution for a seller in that situation? And the best solution would be cash. Cash would be the best solution. Why? because they need out of that property quickly. They've got lots of equity so they can take a discount on the price, and cash is going to get them to a solution the fastest possible way. Well, what if we have a high motivation and then we have low equity? Let's take that scenario. High motivation, low equity. This, the best solution would be subject to. Subject to. Now, what is subject to? Subject to is when you take over their existing loan. Why do you need to do it subject to? Because they don't have a lot of equity. You can't pay cash because you can't get a discount because there's not enough equity to take a discount. Subject to allows you to come in and pay more for the property by taking over the loan. That allows you to control that property, creates a lot of value because now you can do something with that property, rent it out for cash flow. That would be a long-term play. Or what I'm going to show you in a minute is how do you exit now, because we're flipping, how do you exit out of that subject to deal? We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, well, let's take a look at another scenario. Let's go the other way, and let's say that the seller has low motivation, but they have 100% equity, okay? Meaning they own it free and clear. No debt, no liens on the property, 100% clear. They want to sell, but they're just not really highly motivated. They're not going to take a big discount because they don't have high urgency, high distress, and poor condition property. This is actually a very common scenario. We run into this all the time. 100%, they want to sell, but they just have low motivation. Well, in this situation, it would be seller finance. Seller finance, you create a new loan because they have no debt, so you can create a new loan and you can pay the seller a much higher price. The seller is going to wait to get some or all of their money, and that's going to now allow you to control the property, purchase it, while the seller finances the purchase. Okay, this is called owner finance or seller finance. Very common when there's low motivation and 100% equity. Okay, so what if there's low motivation, but there's mid to high equity? So there's equity, it's just not 100% free and clear, but they're still not super motivated. There's low motivation here. And this would be what we would call a hybrid. Now, a hybrid is simply a combination of subject to, so there's still some lien on the property, so you take it over subject to, but then you've got all this extra equity, you would create a second position seller finance for the remaining equity in the property. We call that a hybrid because it's a combination of subject to and seller finance. That solves the problem for a low motivation and a mid to high equity situation. Okay, and the next scenario would be, what if there's a mid or moderate level of motivation, and there's also mid or moderate equity, okay? So they're at like a level 5 on the motivation scale. They're not like looking for retail necessarily, but they're not also willing to take that low, low cash offer. They're kind of in the middle range, and they've got some equity. Mid motivation, mid equity is very common. There's a lot of sellers that fit this category. And the best solution here is a novation. Now, what's a novation? I've been talking a lot about novations quite a bit on my channel recently. A novation is simply where you wholesale to a retail buyer. You're gonna contract with the seller at a specified price. It's gonna be much higher than a cash offer. Usually it's like 30% more than you would pay with cash. But then what you're gonna do is you're gonna market that property to the open market, and you're gonna find a retail buyer that's going to pay you a bump up from the contract price with the seller. And then what you're doing is a novation means you're going to replace one contract with another. So your new buyer is going to come in and they're going to actually contract directly with the seller, and you get to make the difference between the two prices. So like, for example, if you do a novation and you get a retail buyer at $250 and you have a contract with the seller for $190 after closing fees and commissions and so on, you would pay the seller the $190 and you would make the difference of whatever it comes out being, $30,000, $40,000. That's a novation. The most important thing here is you've got a seller with mid-level motivation. Typically, novations take about 60 days, so they can wait 60 days to close. The property's in fair condition. It's not super distressed. They're not in any kind of real urgency. They're not in any kind of real distress. It's moderate. This is where a novation is a perfect solution. Okay, so how many we got here? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 5 different methods here to handle anywhere between high motivation, high equity, high motivation, low equity, low motivation, 100% equity, low motivation, mid to high equity, and mid motivation to mid equity. every other type of seller situation relative to equity, we've got a solution. Now, your job as a good acquisition specialist, as a good flipper, if you're in acquisition, is to now look at the situation and determine, okay, what's the best solution given the seller and the equity position in the property? What I love about this is it gives me so many different options. It gives me an answer to every problem that I run into. Okay, so now let's talk about some different exit strategies. Now remember, we're talking about flipping here. So the goal here is we use these different strategies to acquire and get into a deal. We get the contract and we structure the deal, but now we want to exit the deal. And some of the exits, first one we're going to talk about is an assignment. Now an assignment is basically where we're going to flip the contract, not the property. And we can do this with cash. We can do this with sub two. We can do this with seller finance. And we can do this with hybrid. Any of those creative or cash structures, once we put the deal together, we can take that deal to another investor. They will step in and now close directly with the seller and pay us an assignment fee of $5, $10, $15, $20,000 or whatever you do. However good the deal is, you can then flip the contract through doing an assignment. So flipping contracts is what we call wholesaling. There is another method to wholesale that's not the assignment where you flip the contract. It's actually what we call a double close. Now, a double close is the same sort of idea where we're not actually going to take on the property and we're going to own it and we're going to do some kind of value add. That's not what we're talking about here. A double close is just another way around wholesaling where instead of flipping your contract, you're actually going to purchase the property, but only for a minute, and then you're going to turn around and sell it to your predetermined buyer. So you have your buyer lined up, and you close on closing one with the seller, and then you turn right around and you close again with your cash buyer the same day or the next day. That's a double closing. Now, you do need funding to do double closes for a minute, right, for a day. And this is called transactional funding. Is what we call that. I can actually do these deals for you. I have a fund where we do transactional funding. If you just go to Use Jerry's Cash, you can watch a free training there and I'll show you how it all works. And I'll even do your first double closing for free. So it doesn't cost you anything. Just go to usejerryscash.com. Now, why would you double close over an assignment? You would double close if there's a no assignment clause in your contract that says you're not allowed to do an assignment. Or if you wanted to not disclose how much you were making on the wholesale, you could double close because it's two separate closings. So neither the seller nor the buyer knows what you bought it for or what you sold it for. Okay, so that's a double close. It's just another way to wholesale. So assignments and double closings are your two primary methods to wholesale as your exit out of deals. The third one I want to talk about is what we call a wholetale. Now, what's interesting about a wholetale is it's not quite wholesaling and it's not quite flipping. It's the closest thing to wholesaling where you actually buy the property without a predetermined buyer. So here's how it works. You take your cash deal or your sub two seller finance or hybrid and you contract with a seller, but then you actually close on the deal and you got no buyer lined up. You close on the deal, you take title, you are now the legal owner of the property. And then immediately you resell, you market and resell. And we call it wholetale because it's like wholesaling, but you're looking for a retail buyer because what you're going to do is you're going to go back on the MLS. You're going to get open to the entire market by doing that. And your goal there is to find the highest paying buyer in the market. The MLS and going retail is going to get you the highest paying buyer of all because it gets the most exposure. The most people are going to see that deal. So when we contract a property, and we actually close it, and then we relist it to sell, then that's a wholetale. And those are typically 30 to 60 day flips. So you're going to own the deal for 30 to 60 days because when you close on it, you got to find a new buyer. That buyer is going to take some time before they're ready to close. So it could be anywhere from 30, typically 60 days, which means you need funding. This is short-term funding to do these deals. But again, you're not adding value other than maybe cleaning it out, maybe doing a trash out, but you're not rehabbing. I'm actually doing more and more wholetale deals. What I found is I can typically make twice as much, even after closing fees, even after commissions, and even after financing, is to make double what I make doing an assignment or a double close. And I should, because now I'm in the deal, I'm waiting a little bit longer. So I want that to be a big win. Next is actually a rehab. So that would be our fourth exit strategy. Now we're getting into fix and flip. So rehabbing or fix and flip, where I'm gonna take down the property, I'm gonna add value by improving the property, and then I'm gonna resell the property to the highest paying buyer in the market because now it's fixed up and I'm gonna make a spread on the difference. Rehabbing is a much bigger commitment because now I'm managing contractors, I'm doing work on the property. With rehabbing though, I break down rehabbing into several different strategies. I break it down into a light, an average, and a heavy. And every deal I look at where I want to rehab, I'm going to weigh the different options and I'm going to determine whether this makes sense to do a light rehab. Light would be carpet and paint, maybe a punch list, but I'm just doing a very light, very basic rehab. Average would be carpet paint. And then I'm going to also do a kitchen and bath. So now I'm doing new cabinets, new countertops. I'm going in the bathrooms. I'm doing new tile, new tub surround, right? So now I'm actually doing a more of a legit renovation, but it's still what I call a cosmetic or a surface rehab. I'm not really doing big changes. Heavy would be a redesign. I'm tearing out walls, or it would be just a lot of capital improvements. So this would be like roofs. A gut rehab would be like this. This would be a heavy. Now, ideally, the more I do, the more I get, or I buy in relationship to how much work needs done. But it doesn't always mean that the more money I spend, the more money I make. That's not always the case. Because when we do a heavy rehab, for example, we're in the deal a lot longer. There's a bigger commitment, more involved, more risk that you go over budget. Every time I look at doing an actual rehab, do I want to do a light? Do I want to do an average? Or do I want to do a heavy? And given the time it's going to take, the capital it's going to take, and the return I'm going to get, which one makes the most sense? As a flipper, I want to be very cognizant of time, energy, and effort. And I want to look at these different exit strategies and I want to decide, okay, well, which one makes the most sense? If I'm going to go start rehabbing, I better make a significant bigger return on my investment versus wholetailing. And wholetailing better make a much bigger return than double closing or assignments. And it's all weighed in on every single deal I look at. My goal is not to be a rehabber, not to be a wholesaler, not to be a flipper. I want to be a transaction engineer, right? I want to be very good at flipping where I can now look at multiple different entries and multiple different exits and do what's the best for each given situation and create a business model that I can do again and again and rinse and repeat. That's what a good flipper does. The best flippers are not the ones that have the nicest houses. They're the ones that make the most money. Okay. Anybody can over-renovate. It's easy to over-renovate. It's easy to get into deals and be in them forever and spend all this time and spend all this money. Sometimes my wholesale deals make thousands of dollars an hour because I might not be making a lot, but the per hour work is very, very high. And that's what I really want to look at. So make sure you don't put blinders on and you get fixated into any one of these strategies. Same with the entry. Cash, creative finance, novation, whichever one of those I end up doing, I don't ever want to define myself as one or the other. I want to be open enough to understand what is the best solution for this seller with this situation, and same with the exit. What is the best exit for this deal, given all these different options I have, and then pick the best one. So I like to do all of these different exit strategies. In fact, if you're doing a double close, I can fund your deals. Go to usejerryscash.com. If you have a deal that would be great for a flip, like if it's a good fix and flip, if it meets my criteria, I'll buy it. I'll buy it and I'll pay you $10,000. So I have a program for that. It's a finder program. Go to my10kcheck.com and learn how you can be a finder for me. And I'll buy as many deals as you can that meet my criteria. I don't care where it's at. Why? Because I've got capital in place and I've got systems in place to go in and rehab houses. So I like doing that. If it meets my criteria, it's got to be a great deal. It's got to hit certain margins. So it's worth it to me. But if you find those deals, I'll be happy to pay you $10,000 for every deal. Again, go to my10kcheck.com. So guys, I'd love to hear your feedback on this. Leave a comment and let me know what you think. And I'll see you on the next video.